Good morning and Christian greetings to each of you. We just got finished singing Fresh from the Throne of Glory, fresh from the Crystal River, fresh from that Holy River. I believe this morning that the inspiration that we have received has been just that, at least it has been to me. I've been inspired through this service so much, and the devotional meditation this morning, thank you, Brother Farron, for that. I'm sure that probably as Farron prepared that devotion this week, if he was like most of us are, he was wondering what he should share and thought about that a lot and got some inspiration along the way somewhere that he decided that's what he's going to use. But even at that point, he probably at times, if he's like the rest of us, wondered if this is really what he should be sharing. I'd like to assure you this morning that that was from the Spirit and from God, because it was a good introduction to what God laid in my heart. And that is so good for me, because I realize that God is working through various brothers to build his service, and that's just inspiring to know that. I'd like to share a message this morning. The title of the message is Radiating the Glory of God. Farron's thoughts were on worship, and there's a lot of parallels between that. Radiating the Glory of God. Now, you may wonder why I chose a title like that. I pondered that a while, and I'll explain that as we go along, but I'd like to explain to you, first of all, what radiating is. Radiation is the process of emitting. So in the world that we live in, we talk about radiant energy. And radiant energy is something that is in the form of waves, it's in the form of particles. It's a combined process of emission, transmission, and absorption of radiant energy. So what made me think about that word was at home in our shop, we have radiant heat. We have a radiant, actually two of them, running through the ceiling of the shop, tube heaters that use propane for their source. And when you turn that heat on, those heaters will slowly get red from one end to the other, and they have a deflector over them. And it's not long at all until you feel that heat radiate down to the floor, and you can feel it on yourself. It takes just a few minutes until you feel that you start absorbing that. It's this process of those emissions being transmitted, and you come down and you feel it, and it just feels good. It sends out those rays, it shines brightly as you look at it, and it transfers that heat by radiation, and you feel the warmth as it penetrates. You feel those particles coming. It's just a very, very pleasant feeling. And so, as I think about radiating the glory of God, that's what I'd like to think about this morning. So you and I are like that heater, and as God works in our lives, and as we connect with God, we have then a power source that we can radiate from. And that's what God wants from our lives. He wants us to radiate his love out to us. Now, what is glory? We think we know what glory is. What is glory? Glory to God. So we know that, and we'll look at this a little later, but we know that God is glory. He is the author of glory. He is a form of glory. But do we have the same glory that God does? See, the glory that we have to radiate back to God from ours, we describe that as praise, as honor. Worship fits right in that. Brother Farron's thoughts this morning. It has the idea of giving respect to God, allegiance to God, magnificence that we somehow try to give back to God. We're limited in that. Excellence. Make glorious. Magnify. the praise back to God. And that's what we want to think about this morning. How do we in our lives radiate the glory of God? You see, there's something in man. There's something that is within each of us. And it's because we are created in the image of God that every man has this natural thing that's in him that wants to honor God. We want to praise God. I believe that even society, the world around us, there's something in men that they want the approval of God in their lives. Even though they don't follow God, they don't live their lives for God, they don't follow His direction, they don't live according to His word, and they don't deny themselves, but there's still something inside man that realizes that there is a God, and somehow we need to have His approval. But they flounder in knowing how to really make that connection and coming to that place where they are that living sacrifice that was pointed out to us. The psalmist David reflected on this in Psalm 34, verse 3. He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." I believe this morning that we have been doing that in our worship together here as we have collectively gathered in as a group of God's people and Christians here this morning who have this desire to magnify. We have done that through this service so far this morning, and we want to continue to do that. We're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning. I'm not going to apologize for that. The Bible has much to say about this thought of giving God glory. You may open your Bibles, first of all, back to the book in an Old Testament setting, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'd like to just think about this thought a little bit in the outstart. In this chapter, we have Moses coming to the end of his life. And Moses, God had chosen Moses to lead his children Israel out of Egypt. And he had done that, and Moses hadn't obeyed God in every commandment. But he comes to the end of his life here, and Josh is stepping into his shoes, as it were, and is taking over the responsibility of Moses. But Moses is telling he's giving some admonishment to the children of Israel yet before his dying moment. And in chapter 32 and verse 1, he says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." He's talking to the children of Israel here. Moses says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." He says, "Give attention to what I am telling you. I want this to drop into your lives, and I want the fruit of what I'm telling you to be in your life. And so my doctrine is going to," and it reminds me so much of the weather we had this past week, doesn't it? As these showers and this mist just descends upon the earth, it just soaks in. It's just absorbing it. There's none of it going to waste. And that's kind of the picture I get here. His speech is going to, and he wants the children of Israel to soak it up. Verse 3 tells us why. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." I like that thought. Ascribe ye greatness to our God. So as we try to, with our lives, radiate the glory of God, we're ascribing greatness back unto our God. And that's what Moses was telling the children of Israel, that he wants them. Be obedient. Listen. Absorb it, take it into your hearts and into your lives so that you can do this, because God is a great God and deserves our glory from our lives. Now let's go back to the last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 4, and I want you to notice a heavenly scene yet. Something that John was privileged to see and observe, and was happening in heaven in Revelation chapter 4. And I'd just like to read a few of the last verses. Maybe we'll break in and let's just break in verse 8. It says, and the four beasts, it was describing the beasts and what they were before this, but it says in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and their eyes were full with them. They rest not day nor night, but said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when the beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created, and I want you to get this thought, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What John saw and what was happening in this vision and what he saw in glory and what he heard there reminded him that the very purpose of our lives, the very purpose of the whole creation of God, is to bring glory to God. Now, as we ponder these verses, as we ponder that thought, this brings to my mind several other questions. Where does glory come from, first of all? And what all actually does radiate glory back to God? And I'd like to, for the next few moments, think about that. So where does glory come from, first of all? We'll turn back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 gives us this answer. Ephesians 1 verse 17. I love this verse. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father himself, is the Father of glory. He is the author of glory. He is the creator of all things, and the only glory that we know is the glory that he created, and the glory that we see in his work among creation, among us as mankind, through his Son Jesus Christ. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So revelation, the thought of revelation there means that the glory that we know and anything we know about glory was actually revealed to us through Jesus Christ and through the work of God in the knowledge of him. We have nothing that we have not received. And so we have nothing to give back that we have not received. And that's why I say this morning that we radiate the glory. We don't have glory in ourselves that's worth giving back. And Brother Farron's thoughts in the devotions brought all that out in his thoughts. What do we have to give back? How can we worship? What does God want from us? And so we have the answer to this question, where does glory come from? And there's many more scriptures, many more verses we could turn to, but it comes from God. It originates from God. He's the author of it. So the second question that I want to ponder this morning, well, let me say this. God's glory is shining forth. Or we might say it's a public public display of God himself. In fact, it's a public display of his nature. It's a public display of his character. And he brings that into our lives through many different ways, through the experiences of life. He brought that into our life and into our experience by the life of Jesus, by the Word. And we'll pick up on some of those thoughts later. But God's glory is the shining forth, or the public display of God himself. So let's look at the second question for a few moments. What all radiates God's glory? And I'd like to go back to Psalm 19 for this. very familiar psalm, but I love Psalm 19. It's just a psalm that speaks of what is happening about us on a daily basis. Just the first three verses of Psalm 19. So the psalmist David reflects on the glory of God. And he says that the heavens declare the glory of God. In verse 1, Psalm 19, verse 1. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So what David is saying here in answer to this question, what all radiates the glory of God, he says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavenly bodies declare the glory of God. The firmament, as you look out and you look into the sky, you see the glory of God everywhere you look. In fact, the Bible says that there is one glory of the sun, there is one glory of the moon, the stars have another glory. Each part of God's creation has a glory that they're giving back to God. They're doing what they were designed to do is what they're doing. The sun does what it is designed to do, and it gives glory back to God because of that. The moon does what it was to do at nighttime. The stars twinkle at night. They're doing what they were supposed to be doing. And I'll say it here lest I forget to say it, but that's every part of God's creation does that. You think about the animal kingdom. The animals glorify God by simply living and doing and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And there's things that we can observe from them that we say, well, they're happy with life and they're giving glory back to God. We have a few beef cattle around home. The other morning when it was raining so nice, I noticed this different times already when the showers start coming down. All of a sudden, the cattle wander out of the barn, out in the pasture, and I saw some of them just running around and enjoying it, and next thing they were eating that fresh, wet grass that apparently just tasted so good to them. They do those things because it's their way of bringing glory back to God. The fish in the sea, the whales in the sea, all those things are swimming around, and they're enjoying life, and they're giving glory to God. It just goes on. It's a part of creation. Then the psalmist says in verse 2 that this speaks to us. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. We marvel at the creation. We look at it and we just marvel and we awe. Oh, it's beautiful. Y'all sometimes are sending pictures around of sunsets, sunrises. Things that are happening. Sometimes when it didn't rain for a long time, we see pictures of rain. Hey, it's raining. These things speak to us. And as they do what they do, they speak to us, and it shows us that God is behind it. It shows his knowledge. It shows the glory of God. You see, these things are glorious. We marvel at them, and it's because God created them. God put them there, and it shows his wisdom. It shows his knowledge, his power, his might. The beautiful thing about this I find in verse 3, and this is another reason I love these verses so much. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. This is a worldwide scene. Every nation, every tongue, every language understands this speech from God and can marvel at it. Sometimes we run into people that speak different languages than we do, and we have a hard time communicating. But God has a way of communicating with everybody. It's not a problem for him. And he doesn't have to use Google Translate to do it. He can do it in his own way. So the answer is, all of God's created earth brings glory to him. How does it do it? I want you to hear this morning. It does it by simply doing what it was created to do. God created each thing to do what it was created to do. And I want you, we're going to think about that a little bit later. The second thing that brings glory to God is the angels. And here again, we could look at many, many scriptures. But I'd like to go back to the book of Revelation just for one instant again. Revelation chapter 5, and I want you to notice two verses here. Again, it's John the Revelator beholding what he's seeing and what he was able to witness. Verse 11, Revelation 5. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This was many, many, many angels. And this is what they were doing, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Worthy is Jesus, the Lamb, the slain Lamb, the Son of God, who God gave glory to. And we're going to look at that a little bit later, that whole aspect of that. But here was the angels in a heavenly scene. And this is happening all the time. The heavenly hosts, the heavenly beings, the angels are giving God glory. They're just constantly there giving God glory. At the birth of Jesus, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we read in Luke chapter 2, the angels came and they observed and they glorified God, it says, gave glory to God. Jesus gave God glory by fulfilling his plan for him. Jesus gave glory back to God, and we should look at that. Let's go back to John chapter 2. Here again, there's numerous verses we could look at, but in John chapter 2, I'd like for you to pick up on this thought a little bit. John 2. Okay, first of all, let's look at John 2 and verse 11. Jesus gave God glory by filling his plan for him, is my thought. It says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifests forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." So this was right after Jesus had turned the water into wine. And it says that this was the beginning of many miracles that Jesus did to manifest the glory of God. He was giving glory back to God by living his earth life now, is what he was doing. He had came to earth and he was going to minister to the needs of people. He was going to do all kinds of miraculous things. It was what God had planned for him. Turn back just one chapter, and I want us to notice verse 14 of chapter 1. We often read over these verses, but this verse speaks to this thought as well. It says, "And the Word was made flesh," talking about Jesus. So this Bible, this Word that we have, is the story of Jesus, is the life of Jesus, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So as Christian people, as God's people this morning, as Bible readers this morning, we have the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, and the things that he did. It is the story of glory, and we can understand it in a fuller revelation because of that. Praise God this morning. It not only dwelt among man, but we beheld his glory. We can read about his glory, and it was full of grace and truth. We had a good message the other Sunday on grace. It's the grace of God to help us to understand. And we are a blessed people this morning. We have truth. We know what truth is. It's all a part of this subject this morning. So So Jesus brought glory to God through his life. Now, so creation brings glory, Jesus brought glory, the angels brought glory, and God wants glory from you and I. Man was created to bring glory to God. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. I guess I won't take the time to read as much of this as I'd like, but let's at least notice verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Those two verses tell us that all of mankind, God created man in his own image because he wanted someone like him to manifest glory back to himself. He says that I call them, and this is God's call to our lives. So we know that one of the things about us is the fact that we can make choices. We can choose to either follow God, find our place in his will, and honor him and give glory back to him, or we can be like a lot of people around us who ignore God and who are living life to self, to their own will, to their own desires, and forget about God and are not concerned about bringing glory to him. In fact, it's more about their own glory. And we can get caught up with that as well if we're not careful. But he says, even everyone that is called by my name. So God is calling people. For I have created you. I want you to give glory back to me, to do what you were created to do, just like the rest of his creation. I said the rest of his creation does what they were to do. And that's what God, that's the reason he formed us. That's the reason he made us. Man was created to bring glory to God. God's glory is in his people. Verse 10 brings that out of this same chapter. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe on me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He alone is God. And he says that we are his witnesses. We are called to be his witnesses. We are called to give this glory back to God. He has given us this understanding, this ability to believe so that we can be that. Now we think about man being glory to God. The Bible has some other verses. I'm not going to turn to these, but in Proverbs 16, verse 31, it says this, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So the hoary head is talking about ancient people, ancient Christians, ancient men and women. We often think about gray-haired men. Well, Proverbs 20 and verse 29 says, the glory of young men is in their strength, and the beauty of old men is in the gray head. So you connect those two verses, and I believe that the hoary head is a crown of glory, brings glory to God. Faithful men, faithful people, faithful women who have withered the storms of life and are standing and towering there as a rock, having Jesus as their anchor and being there in their old age. And I'd just like to encourage you older folks here this morning, thank you for your faithfulness and stay faithful. And don't give up. Keep on. And share here in this congregation with these people. There's a younger generation growing up that still needs to hear your voice at times. I believe you older brethren still need to come up front and have devotions at times and those kind of things. Just like Brother Farron did this morning. Because his church, these people need to hear from you. And so don't quit. If God's giving you strength and God's giving you a blessed life and you're able to read the Bible, I believe you're able to contribute and should be contributing. I really believe that, because I believe it's a way that you give glory back to God with your life. And even in old age, you can continue to do that. So may I encourage you in that this morning. I'd like to say something to you young folks this morning. It says the glory of young men is in their strength. What does he mean by saying that? Does he mean that that's all in this here? I can get out there and I can really lift weights and I can do that? Well, there is glory in that. God created you with that strength. There is glory in that. But I believe it means more than that. I believe he's really talking about young people who take up the work. Young people who get busy doing the things God wants you to do. He wants glory from your lives. And the glory of you young folks is in your strength when you realize that you are indebted to Jesus. You're indebted to give God the glory. And you decide that I'm going to live my life for the Lord. And then you're going to live your life like, well, may I say like Daniel and his three friends. You're going to say, but I'm not going to mess myself up with the things of the world. I'm not going to let those things hinder my spiritual life. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be standing for truth and for right. And we know we could go on and think about Daniel and his three friends in their life. They said, we're not going to take the king's meat. Just give us... Can't say what it was now, but anyhow, you know the story. I mean, you know the outcome of that whole thing. And so I'd like to encourage you, the glory of young men this morning is in your spiritual strength, in standing up and doing what is right and giving glory back. You see, God wants glory from us. Well, I'd like to move on this morning. I like to say this before I do that. I want to look at some practical. I'm going to get practical with the rest of this message this morning. I have about 8 practical ways that I'd like to share that I believe that we can things that we can be involved in that I bring our ways. And there's many, many more. This is not all inclusive, but ways that we can glorify God. But I'd like to say this first. To glorify God is not to bestow glory on God or add to his glory, but to recognize and acknowledge his glory. You get that? You see, somehow we get this twisted up at times, and we think we want to do with our strength and our power and our wisdom and our knowledge and our lives and wherever y'all go with that, we think that somehow we have to bestow some kind of glory on God or add to his glory. That's not the case, dear friends. That's not what we're called to do. We must recognize and acknowledge God's glory, first of all, and that's why I use this title, Radiating the Glory That God Gives to Us Back to Him. And so for the rest of this message this morning, what are some practical ways that we can radiate this glory? How can we give glory to the King of Glory? Somebody that is so glorious that we can't even describe his glory. He's the author of it. He's the maker of it. He's the creator of glory. And he is so glorious and so far beyond us. How can we even start giving glory to the Lord of Glory? Let's go back to the New Testament. First of all, to John chapter 15. These are the words of Jesus. John 15, verse 1, I'm going to read the first 8 verses here. Jesus is speaking and Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purcheth it, so that it bringeth forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit in itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And I want you to notice the next verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How do we glorify the King of Glory? The first point that I'd like to make this morning is that Jesus needs to be our power source. We need to connect to a power source. We have nothing in ourselves. We are no good in ourselves. He brings that out. He says, if you're not a part of me, if you don't attach to me, if you're not abiding in the vine, if you as a branch aren't connected to the vine, you're nothing. You're fit to be cast out. You're not good for anything, he says, in yourself. And so the only way we can bring glory to God is when we are connected to Jesus Christ. We need a power source. You see, it's just like my shop heater that I talked about back home. If it wouldn't be connected to that propane tank outside, it would be cold, empty. It wouldn't, everything I described to you that I experienced from that heater wouldn't be anymore. And that's just an example of how we are. Jesus is God's connection to us, is what it is. God gave Jesus glory. Well, let's look at that. Let's go over to, just turn a few pages in your Bible, John 17. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus talked about this very thing. Verse 21, we'll break in here. He says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one of us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. God used Jesus to his glory, had a plan for Jesus. Jesus made the connection down to man on earth, redeemed you and I, brings us back into a relationship where we can now be one with the Father and one with the Son, and we can share and experience the glory that is there from them. And as God and Jesus, as we allow them to pour this glory into our lives, we can radiate it out back, not only to God, but to each other, to our fellow men, to our communities, and this is what God wants from us. My studies, I ran across this verse in Hebrews chapter 1. Turn with me there. I just love how the Hebrew writer talks about this connection. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, this is talking about Jesus. God was using Jesus in the New Testament to speak to us. And Jesus, who being in the brightness of his glory and in the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, who being in the brightness of his glory, the glory of God the Father, Jesus through his death on the cross, through the cross experience, through his suffering, because he loved you and I, brought us back into that relationship and gave glory back to God, and brings us back into that, the expressed image of Jesus, of God the Father. I love that so much. Secondly, the second way that we radiate glory to God is we radiate glory to God when we confess Jesus as our Savior. In other words, when we make this connection we're talking about, we connect to the vine, but we don't stop short of just making him Savior of our life. We make him Master and Lord of all of our life. You see, if we're going to stop short of and just make Jesus as our Savior, there's many people that want to do that. They want to cry a sinner's prayer and they want to connect with Jesus. They want Jesus in their heart and in their lives, but then they want to go on and they want to live life to their own lusts, their own desires, their own, not change anything. No, I put in there, we must make him Master and Lord of our lives. Philippians 2 and verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Master and Savior and our that vital life string that he is to us, when we acknowledge that, God receives glory. In other words, our dependency on our connection, that connection to the vine, is so, so important. And then we bring glory to God the Father. And so this morning, dear ones, if you haven't connected to the vine, if you're here this morning and you're struggling and you're wondering about life, I just make a plea with you. If you want peace in your heart and you want to live life and you want to open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can fill your heart and fill you and make you a life that is going to live and bring glory to your Creator God, make that connection. Accept Jesus. Confess Jesus with your mouth. We do that with the mouth. Confession is made. Lord, we need you. We want you. Come into my heart. We confess Jesus as Savior. We accept him as Master. We accept him as Lord of our life. And then we bring glory to God the Father. Thirdly, praise him with our lips. We radiate glory back to God when we confess him with our lips. There's a verse in Psalm 63. Think I wrote it down. I'll turn back to it. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, the psalmist says. And so we praise with our lips. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Let's think through that a little bit, friends. Loving kindness, the goodness of God, the things that God has poured into our hearts and into our lives. We look at life, and if we're healthy, we enjoy life. We love getting up and getting busy in life and doing things in life, right? Because it feels good and we're enjoying life, we're healthy. And that's all right and that's all good. But the psalmist says that the loving kindness of God is even better than that. Better than just experiencing a good life. The loving kindness is better than life. And so because we recognize that, if we recognize that, and we can recognize that, we praise him with our lips. You know, we're so much like that. I'll just share this with you. Last night, I don't know what time it was there at our place, about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. The sun came through, broke through after about a week. I don't know if it did at your place or not. But after all this cloudy weather, and I had just went out and started feeding cattle. I was mixing up feed and that sun broke through. And all of a sudden I found myself singing as I was going about. And I thought, well, what does it take to make a man sing? It's just finally the sun broke through and it felt so different. I felt the warmth and it just reminded me. It's just how we are as humans. There's certain things that come through and it just reminds, well, it's the loving kindness of God. I don't think I was walking around all week complaining about the rainy weather, but it was just so good to see the sunshine again. And there's so many little things like that happened in life that inspire us and that give us courage and give us strength and faith to go on again. It's a loving kindness and it's actually better than life. I think I was enjoying life all week, but all of a sudden there was something that was even better than life. My lips shall praise thee. And automatically, that's what I was doing. I didn't even think about it till I did, all of a sudden. And so it's an attitude of gratitude about life goes a long way. Praise him with your lips. Number four, obey his word. Obey his word. God wants us, you see, when we accept Jesus as Master and Lord, and I pointed out to you from John that his word is he is the word. He is the word. But as we think about obeying his word, there's again many scriptures that we could turn to, but I'm just going to bring one scripture into focus, and it's an Old Testament scripture. Malachi chapter 1 talks about this. And he says in verse 6, he says this, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be your father, or I be a father, where is mine honor, is the question that he's raising. And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you. If you truly claim that God is your father, that Jesus is your master, he's saying, then where is my honor? We're obligated to give honor. And he says, where is my fear? That tells me that there needs to be something in us that respects the rules and the authorities of God's word and God himself and his commandments to us. He wants obedience. And so obey his word. If you want to glorify God, don't just talk about the things that he tells us to do. Don't just talk about these things. We need to obey. Lives of obedience is what God is looking for. That brings glory to him. Number five, pray in Jesus' name. You may wonder why we always end our prayers in the name of Jesus. Jesus is our mediator. And in John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus himself said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, we approach God, we cannot approach Almighty God. We are not fit to come into the presence in his holiness. My mind goes to Isaiah. Isaiah saw God and he saw his holiness. He said, woe is me. That's the picture of us as humanity. We come and we're invited. And he sees that we're to come boldly, but do it through Jesus. We come through Jesus. Jesus is the one who made the way for us, opened the door, and is our connection, our mediator, and our life string between us and God the Father. And so it brings glory to God when we pray in Jesus' name. It's an acceptance of the provisions of Jesus is what it is. And it's acknowledging that, again, with the fruit of our lips. Confessing him with our lips. And so bring glory to God by praying in Jesus' name. Number six, seek the good of others. We know that Jesus was very concerned about earthly relationships and love between each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says this, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul was saying that I spent myself for everyone that I meet. I give, not seeking anything for myself from it, not for an ulterior motive of my own, but reach out to each other. And whatsoever ye do, and wheresoever ye go, and whosoever ye meet, treat them fairly and openly and honestly, so that God can receive glory. last evening, my wife and I had went into town for a little bit, and she went into a shop, and I was sitting outside just watching people. And she came out, and I said, I made the comment, I said, boy, I said, it's just really a sad world when you watch people and, you know, the life that they're living and the things they're doing. And I was sitting right outside one of those puff and snuff shops. The people that were going in and out, and they were puffing on their way in, and as soon as they were back out, they were puffing something else. You just saw the whole life. And then her comment was, she said, well, not everybody's like that. She said, I met a man inside the store that got a smile on his face and opened up. Hey, how are you doing? And, well, she's doing fine. She said, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. I'm having a good day. And he went on. She said, not everybody's like that. So there are people out there in society that are seeking for the good of others. It was an inspiration to her to meet that man who probably didn't profess to be anything else, but he had a good spirit. He was talkative, and they're hard to find. They are in our society anymore. But let's be those kind of people, is my point. Seek for the good of others. Number 7, be faithful when persecuted. We don't face persecution very much, if at all. I don't know if you feel like you've been persecuted any time. We sometimes get scoffed at a little bit, get laughed at, but I don't know that we necessarily know what persecution is. But 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 says this, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to be a child of God. Don't be ashamed to suffer as a Christian, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In other words, if you get laughed at, if somebody mocks you, if somebody says, well, why don't you, you know, do things in a different manner here, you could make out much better like this. No, we do things because we believe this. There's a right and a wrong way to do things. And if they want to mock us, if they want to laugh at us, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, because this is a way to glorify God. Take this and move on. So be faithful in persecution, dear friends. Whenever things like that happen, it's a way to take the situation and make the best of it and give glory to God. The last point, number 8 that I have, is I believe that if we do these things, and I told you this is not all inclusive, there's many more things, but if we do at least these things, I believe that we can face death in faith. And I believe that God wants us to do that. And go with me to this verse in John chapter 21, verse 19 yet. And this was actually in our Sunday school lesson this morning. But this was Jesus talking to Peter, and he said, this spake he, identifying Peter, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. He was telling Peter to follow him. But God, Jesus was reminding Peter of the death that he was going to die. We know the death. We know Peter died as a martyr. And Peter asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus. So he had a bitter end. Is what he had. But the end doesn't matter, dear friends. If we have faith and we find ourselves living for Jesus and we find ourselves glorifying God now, we can face death in faith. Excuse me. And I want to encourage us with that this morning, that we can face the reality of death. We don't have to fear death. Death is something that is going to be a part of each of our experiences sometime in the future if the Lord doesn't return. And we don't have to fear it if we're living our life in the fullest of His glory at the moment. And death can be a reality that looks beautiful to us, really. No, we don't like the idea of dying and going through that. But to see beyond the grave and see beyond into the eternal realms and the beauty that is there and is prepared for each one of us. Brothers and sisters, let's be faithful. Let's glorify God with this life. Let's Let's live for Him. In conclusion, friends, we radiate God's glory when we each live our lives where God has placed us, where God is calling us. He may be calling you to fill a place yet. There's young people here that you're saying, well, where is my place? You're still looking for that place. Give it time. God will lead you there. Those of you that God has led there, whether you're a mother in the home just doing the mundane things of family life, taking care of children from day to day, whether you're a school teacher, young people, wherever you are now, fathers in the home, grandparents, living your last days, we each glorify God when we live our lives right where God has placed us and called us, and with the work that He gave us to do. Let's fill that place and walk in His ways, and God will see glory radiated from our lives back to Him. Let's kneel for prayer.